two names. You will name him Jesus, which means Savior, and then you will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the Lord Jesus was given two names, but of course one of them is the one that we know a whole lot more. But his name is Emmanuel as well. Tonight I'd like to do a short study from the Word of God having to do with Christmas. It has to do with one detail in particular that's found in the Gospel of Luke. Mr. Sims read that for us this morning, but I'd like to just read a few of those verses again, so just listen to them, and we'll concentrate on one of them in particular. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We've all seen Christmas movies and Christmas pageants. Many of us have seen A Charlie Brown Christmas on TV for many years. And we fashion a lot of our ideas from these things about what it probably was like back then. But we still have a lot of questions. Did it really happen like that? Well, I'd like to look at verse 7 here and answer some of the questions concerning the details of the Christmas story and hopefully set the record straight on some of these details. Specifically, what happened and why. Sort of like a detective story. God drops little clues in there and you piece them together and you find out just really what did happen. And specifically, one detail in particular, it says that he was laid in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. What does that mean? Why is that thrown in there? Why does God mention that? Is there significance to that? Well, I'd like to answer 10 brief questions. Each one sheds a little bit more light on what was happening. Number one, where was this? Kind of like we're detectives, Sherlock Holmes coming in and saying, I need the facts now. Where did all this happen? Well, we're twice told in these verses, verses 4 and then later in verse 11, that this happened in Bethlehem. And it says in Bethlehem, not outside Bethlehem. The shepherds lived outside of Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And then the wise men came from a long distance away to come to Bethlehem. Later in verse 8, it talks about the shepherds were in the same region outside. But remember, the angel appeared to them and said, you go into Bethlehem. So, that's the first detail. Where was this? It happened in the little town of Bethlehem. Second question. Why were Mary and Joseph there? After all, we know that Mary and Joseph lived way up north in the little town of Nazareth. What were they doing down in Bethlehem? Well, we know that God had arranged it so that Jesus would be born in the city of David, not way up there in Nazareth. So God had to do something to get them down there so that Jesus was born there. And so what he did was he arranged for this taxation. Yes, sometimes God is even behind taxes. So Joseph and Mary had to go back to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's hometown, in order to pay his taxes. And records were easier to keep in one's hometown, and so that's where they went back to pay their taxes. And that's where how God arranged it so that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. That's why we don't sing, O little town of Nazareth. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Third question. When they got to town, why didn't Mary and Joseph stay with friends or relatives? Well, in Israel, a person usually stayed with relatives or friends. Perhaps there was something that prevented them. Maybe the relatives said, we don't want to have anything to do with you, or we're all booked up. We're not really told, so we can only deduce so much here. Perhaps there weren't any relatives, but there probably were. But perhaps they didn't care too much for Joseph, or maybe it was Mary that wasn't too welcome at this time. But anyway, they didn't stay with relatives, and they didn't stay with friends. They had to stay in this inn, or at least nearby the inn. Now, that's our fourth question. It says there was no room for them in the inn. Well, what was an inn? Well, an inn is a form of a hotel or a motel. We've all heard of the Holiday Inn. Well, it's a place where people can stay. Literally, the word is a stopping off place. So this wasn't like a large hotel with lots of food and rooms and keys for the door. It was a very informal sort of place. It was more like a roadside place where you'd rest stop. You ever gone on a trip like on an interstate and every now and then you pull off and there'll be just a little bitty building with restrooms and a couple of picnic tables and that's about it. And truck drivers will stay there because it's very cheap. They don't have to pay anybody. They just pull their truck over and sleep in the back. Inns back then sometimes were like that, where you just kind of parked your camel or your donkey and you slept wherever you wanted to. Other ones were more like a small hotel where they had someone working there that would look after things and provide a little bit of food, perhaps. Sometimes the travelers would bring their own food or their own blankets and bedding. So we don't know too many of the details from here, but we know that there was an inn, and there was no room for them. There are a few inns mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. You know the story of the Good Samaritan? A man was beat up on the side of the road. Another man came and helped him. It says he put him on his donkey and took him to an inn. And he gave some money to the innkeeper and said, "You take care of this fellow and buy him food and maybe medicine if necessary, and I'll come back later and pay you whatever's necessary." So an inn would have an innkeeper that would help take care of things and maybe throw people out if they misbehave or brought them food or various things like that. So there was an inn and probably an innkeeper. Fifth question. Why was there no room in the inn? The verse says that there was no room for them in the inn. Well, again, we have to be detectives and kind of look behind it. There was no room in this inn because there was no room anywhere else in town. Now, this was a small town. It wasn't nearly as big as Springfield. Back then, Bethlehem had no more than just 3,000 or 4,000 people, so they probably only had this one inn. Have you ever gone to a city where they have a big event happening? The Super Bowl or Mardi Gras or something like that, and nobody can find a motel room because everybody's coming to town and so all the rooms are taken. That's what it was like in Bethlehem. All these people coming to town to pay their taxes, there'd be no room there at the inn, and so you had to just find a place any way you could. With all these people coming to town, I'm sure that the innkeeper raised his rates. You know, they usually do that when you everything is in town is busy. And so business was busy, and maybe tourism. Someone has said, well, maybe the Romans came and took the rooms, the Roman soldiers. Probably not. The Jews and the Romans didn't get along very well. If the Romans had stayed there, the Jews wouldn't stay there. And if the Jews stayed there, the Romans wouldn't stay there. So it was probably just the Jews staying there, not the Romans. If it had been Romans, Luke probably would have said there was no room because the Romans had taken all the rooms. But he didn't say that. The Jews would not have allowed the Gentiles to stay with them. And so this is an interesting thing here. Jesus was like the Gentiles. There was no room for him in the inn, just like there was no room for the Romans. That's about as far as we can go with that question. Sixth question. Was the innkeeper wrong to turn them away? Think about that. Now, we've seen stories and Christmas pageants where somebody plays the innkeeper and he says to Mary and Joseph, "There's no room here." So he slams the door and throws them out. And then another innkeeper says, "Well, you can't stay here. Go stay out there in the stable." But first question here was there really an innkeeper? I was listening to a preacher on the radio the other day and he was saying there wasn't an innkeeper. He said that this was more like just a roadside place where you park your camel, but there wouldn't be an innkeeper. Well, I'm persuaded that there probably was an innkeeper because of that story in about the Good Samaritan. There was an innkeeper there, and most inns did have an innkeeper that would maybe collect a little money, bring a little food, tidy up a little bit. It was his business. Perhaps the inn belonged to him. So it doesn't say that there was an innkeeper, but there probably was. You see, again, this is like a detective. If the inn was out in the country, then there wouldn't be a need for an innkeeper. They'd just say, well, let people stay there with their camels whenever they want to. But if it was in town, and we've already said this was in Bethlehem, there would be an innkeeper, because otherwise someone would just simply move in and live there all the time. So there would be an innkeeper that owned the inn. Inns were not co-ops, and they were not public places. This was a private establishment. So someone had to look out and take the money. But we don't know anything else about the innkeeper. We don't know his name. We don't know if he was married. And that's where we kind of have to set aside some of the little ideas we've picked up. For example, we don't know anything about his family. We don't know that his wife was cranky. We don't know that the innkeeper was fat. We don't know that he had raised his prices or slammed the door in their face. We don't know that it was snowing outside. I even heard a story that the innkeeper came and he was chewing on a turkey leg, and then he slammed the door and he went back to eating. We don't know anything that the innkeeper had a turkey leg in his hand. We don't know any of that. But there was an innkeeper, and that's as far as we could go. Now, it has been popular in some circles to say this innkeeper shouldn't be blamed for turning them away. You ever heard that? They say the innkeeper's been given a bad rap. Well, let's look at this. They will say, after all, the innkeeper was only doing his job. And if you've ever been doing your job and had some customer yell at you, you just say, hey, I only work here. I don't make the rules. And so they say, well, there was no room. What was the innkeeper supposed to do? There was no room. All the rooms had been taken. Have you ever been on a trip and you're tired, you pull into a motel and it says no vacancy and it keeps flashing and you come in? I remember once I was on a trip and I pulled in and it was about 2:30 in the morning and I was dog tired. I was about to fall asleep at the wheel. So I pulled into a motel and they said, I'm sorry, buddy, there's no rooms. And I said, I'll take anything. He says, I can't get anything. We don't have anything. I said, mister, I'll give you $10 if you let me sleep on the couch. I said, I am so sleepy. And he says, well, I can't give you a room I don't have. I said, well, if you don't give me a room, you'll read about me in the morning paper. This guy falls asleep at the wheel and crashes. He says, no, we can't have that happen. I said, let me sleep anywhere. So he said, we threw a couple out just a little while ago. They were having a party and tore up the place. He says, we haven't cleaned up the room. I said, I'll take it. He said, now, don't tell the boss. I'm not supposed to do this. And I said, don't tell the boss what? He said, I'll take anything. My point is, the guy only worked there. And he probably said, I can't give you a room that I don't have. There's no room in the inn. Besides, they had no reservations. Maybe you've been turned away from some place. They said, there's no vacancy. Do you have a reservation? And if you don't have a reservation, no room. Also, some have said, trying to defend this innkeeper, they said, what was he supposed to do? Throw other guests out that had already paid or had had a reservation or already there with their families? What was he supposed to do? Throw them out? Couldn't they go to another inn? Someone else will say. Well, maybe this was the only one. And they'll also say, according to verse 8, it was already night. So everybody else was already probably asleep, and here come Joseph and Mary late at night. What was the innkeeper supposed to do? Wake up other people? You see how people will argue. So they say they were putting him at an inconvenience. So if he turns them out, they shouldn't blame him. It was their fault that they didn't come earlier. And they say, besides, he did let them sleep out there in the barn where there was a manger, so he didn't he do the best under the circumstances anyway? So some people say, we ought to congratulate this innkeeper. After all, he did make do somehow to provide something for them. And besides, lastly, they'll say the innkeeper shouldn't be blamed because, after all, how was he to know that this baby was going to be the Messiah? Now, that's the case that defends this innkeeper. However, I think that the facts show that the innkeeper was pretty cold-hearted. Let me prove that. It's been the traditional view that say that this was a heartless act of inhospitality and that there's something significant about this. All these excuses about being at night and no room and he was only doing his job, all of that is outweighed by one very obvious fact. You know what that obvious fact was? Mary. She was expecting a baby that night. And so that should have outweighed everything else. That should be an extenuating circumstance, or as they say in law, a mitigating fact, a mitigating circumstance. Would the innkeeper have known it? How could she have hid it? She was 9 months pregnant. It's not easy to hide that. So the man could not have helped but notice that this woman was expecting a baby. And Joseph, I'm sure, would have said to the man, buddy, look, let's step over here. My wife's expecting a baby probably tonight. Can't you do something? I mean, Tony, you would have stood up, you know, and they said, look, we got to have something. So I'm sure Joseph would have stood up and said, look, find me something, even if you can't find me a room. Imagine, though, innkeeper turning a pregnant woman out of his inn. That shows he was pretty cold-hearted. I don't think any of us would have had the guts to do that. Man would have had to have been pretty cold-hearted to turn an expectant mother away. What could he have done? He could have gone and asked some of the guests to double up, or he could have thrown some of the guests out. You know, if they say, hey, what do you think we're doing? Hey, wait, we got a pregnant woman. You get out of here. We've got to make room for her. But he didn't do that. Kind of reminds me of the old joke. A man showed up at a motel, and the clerk says, there are no rooms. So the man said, Now, what if the President of the United States showed up tonight and wanted a room? Would you give him a room? Say, oh, yeah, we'd find him something. Well, then the guy says, well, I got news for you. The President's not coming, so give me what you were going to give him. My point is that in an emergency, somebody's going to make room somehow. But they didn't make room because it says there was no room for them in the inn. Maybe this man had imbalanced scruples. Maybe he didn't want this unmarried couple to stay there. He didn't know who they were. He just didn't. He was hard-hearted. Simply put, the man could have made room if he wanted to, but he didn't. He didn't really want to. Why not? They had no money and he had no mercy. You see, Joseph and Mary didn't really have very much. If they had had a lot of money, let's say Joseph had a bag of gold, I imagine he would have given anything to have a room that was clean. You'd pay extra, but Joseph hardly had any money, barely enough to pay his taxes. And so I imagine the innkeeper probably said, you know, if you had enough money, I'd find you something, but you don't, so get out. On the other hand, it is true that they did stay out there in the barn or the stable where the animals were kept. Okay, seventh question. What does all this symbolize? Is there a lesson or some spiritual truth in here? There was no room for them in the inn. Yes. Now we see that this little detail has great significance. It symbolizes something greater. The Lord Jesus came to be born, but there was no room for him in the inn. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 11 says, he came to his own people, and those who were his own did not receive him. It's just like here in the inn. They did not receive him. He came to Israel. Israel, by and large, did not receive him. Now, when you read the four Gospels, there's something very interesting that rises to the surface. And you know what it is? The people that you most expected to receive Jesus didn't. The holy people, the church-going crowd, the priests, the scribes, those that knew the Old Testament inside and out, most of them did not accept Jesus. On the other hand, most of the people you never would have expected to accept Jesus did. The common people, the outcasts of society. It talks about the drunks, the tax collectors, even Romans. All these, by and large, gladly heard Jesus. So it's not surprising. The ones you expected to believe in Jesus usually didn't, and the ones you wouldn't have usually did. It's kind of like what's being symbolized here. There is no room for them in the inn. The innkeeper wouldn't have him, but the animals out in the barn would. So Jesus here is being rejected by some, but being accepted by others. Now, this innkeeper represents a certain kind of rejecter. You see, he didn't completely reject Jesus. He accommodates him. He does say, you can't stay in my inn, but I'll let you stay out there in the barn. Some people are like that. They don't completely reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not complete atheists and agnostics. They don't want to burn down the churches and throw Christians in jail. They'll say, oh, well, we'll add a little bit of religion, but not in here, in my heart. I'll have him out somewhere else where he's convenient for me. And so they don't completely reject Jesus, but they don't completely accept him either. You see, he's not in the inn, if I can make a little pun. He's out in the barn. With some people, Jesus is not in their heart. He's maybe out in the garage or in the backyard, but he's not in the deepest part of their life. But some would say, how could this innkeeper have known that Jesus was the Messiah? Well, the Bible does say, love your neighbor as yourself, even if he's a total stranger. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan helped a man who was a total stranger to him. And Jesus himself said, if we turn away a stranger that's in need, that's like we're turning away the Lord Jesus. So this innkeeper should have said, boy, this couple sure needs my help. And if he had done it to them, then he would have been doing it unto God. But he didn't, because that showed that he had no place for God in his heart. Some people have one place for Christ, but not in their heart. Just like in America at large. Used to be that you could pray in the schools. Now they say you can't pray in the schools, and they want to take more and more prayer and religion out of the government and other things. So they say, well, you can worship God maybe in your homes or in your churches, but not elsewhere. Well, they're like this cold-hearted innkeeper. Okay, question number 8. Just where then was Jesus born? In Bethlehem, but not in the inn. Where was he? Well, it doesn't specifically say, but like good detectives, we can pick up the clues, put them together, and find out. They were not in the inn, but they were out there where there was a manger. So that tells us where he was. He was wherever the manger was. He would have been out there basically in the barn. Some of y'all have been in barns out on a farm or a ranch. That's where they keep the animals. Now, at this inn, I'm sure they probably had some sort of a sign, no animals in the inn, tie them up out back in the stable, something like that, kind of like no pets allowed. So inns would have stables, kind of like parking lots where they'd park their camels or donkeys. Besides, people back then often would travel and bring animals with them. Now, I don't mean just little pet cats and dogs, but if they're going to travel all the way to pay their taxes, sometimes they'd bring a cow or a bull or an oxen with them, and maybe the oxen would pull a little wagon. Also, if they were going to go to Jerusalem to the temple, they'd bring other animals that would be sacrificed. So the inns would have stables where they'd keep animals. Now, let me diverge for just about 1 minute. It's been very popular for some people to say this wasn't a stable or a barn. It was a cave. You ever heard that one? I heard Billy Graham once say that, saying it was probably a cave. It wasn't an inn or a stable. It's become popular for people to say that. Well, that's an old view. About 100 years after Christ, a man by the name of Justin Martyr said that, and another one named Origen, and some other ones say that. And if you go over to Israel now, a little dangerous right now with all the fighting going on, but if you go to Bethlehem, one of the tour guides will bring you to a certain place that has a cave. And they'll charge you to go into the cave, and they'll say, that's where Jesus was born. They'll say it in an Arabic accent. That's the way Jesus was born. Pay your money. Well, there are caves out there in that general area, and some caves were used to keep animals in. But it wasn't a cave. The Bible doesn't say there is a cave. And you know how I know that Jesus wasn't born in a cave? Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And if you look at Bethlehem, even today, the caves aren't in Bethlehem. They're out there in the countryside. So Jesus wasn't born in a cave. He was born in a barn where the animals were. Besides, if there was a cave, I'm sure people would be living in the cave. They wouldn't turn it into an inn. People have been born in strange places. I was in a taxi cab once, and I asked the taxi driver, have you ever had to drive an expectant mother to the hospital? And he said, yeah, boy, we barely made it. But you've heard stories about babies being born in a taxi or in churches, all sorts of places, at home. But Jesus was born in a barn with animals. Ninth question. What exactly is a manger? It says that they laid him in a manger. Maybe you've wondered, manger, boy, that sounds nice and holy, like a Bible word nobody else talks about. Well, what is a manger? Well, it's a place where they put food for the animals, or a feeding receptacle. A horse trough is what it was, where they put hay or grain or something like that. You've seen these sort of things if you've been on a farm. It'd be just a wooden box, and the farmer would put the hay in there, and here come the animals, horses and cattle and sheep, and would eat that. Now, that necessarily tells us, here's another little detective work. If there was a thing to feed animals, that tells you it's where animals were, and it tells us that this is probably some animals were around there. Now you can picture Joseph making sure there was hay there and then wrapping them up and laying them down there. Now we can't say which animals were there. And I'm sure Joseph probably took them a little bit aside, maybe tied them up outside. We don't know exactly which kind of animals. We don't know that they looked on and saw Jesus in the manger. May have been. Makes a nice little story, a little picture on Christmas cards. We don't know that that they kneeled before Jesus. You've heard those stories, that the cows walked in and kneeled before the manger. We don't know that. So we don't want to say what the Bible doesn't say, but it doesn't say anything like that. It doesn't say that when they sang to Jesus, the animals wagged their tails in time to the song. We don't know that either. But there is another fact we can deduce. If this was a barn where animals were kept, it was filthy and it stunk. If you've ever been in a barn like that, no matter how clean you try to make it, you still can't get out that animal smell. It was filthy. And I'm sure Joseph tried to tidy it up, but he didn't have much time to do it. Number 10, and our last question. What is the significance of Jesus being born in a barn? There is significance. The fact that there were animals and a manger and a barn all is very symbolic of other truths. That's why God arranged it. There's only one other reference to a manger in the Bible. It's in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey knows its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. So God is saying, look, an animal knows where the food is. It'll know where its manger is to find the hay and the grain. But he says, my people don't know me. And so there's significance here. Just like there's no room in the inn, Israel didn't want Jesus. Israel was not believing in their own God. Now, there were two other things similar to the barn with animals. Noah's Ark was sort of like a floating barn with animals in it. And I'm sure they had something like a manger there. And in the very first place in the Bible, the Garden of Eden had animals there. So it's kind of some symbolism here. Jesus being born, that stable became like Noah's Ark. It was a new beginning. It was like a new Garden of Eden all over again with the animals, because here was Jesus, the new Adam, to start all over again. Now, it may not be stretching the bounds of symbolism too much to suggest one or two other things. Here was Jesus put in a place where there was food for animals. Jesus himself said he is the bread of life. Jesus, as it were, becomes our food. And we're not much different than those animals. At least the animals were where Jesus was, not back there in the inn. Also, some symbolism here that Jesus was laid in a manger that was made out of wood. When Jesus grew up, what kind of occupation did he do? He was a carpenter, and he would work with wood. And he that was born in a manger would die on a cross made of wood. Many years ago, a preacher wrote a book, From the Manger to the Cross. So there's some symbolism here. Even in that manger, it's like foreshadowing the cross that Jesus would die on. One last lesson, we can see some symbolism in this, that Jesus was laid in a manger that did not belong to him. It didn't even belong to Mary and Joseph. It was borrowed. Jesus grew up basically poor. Now, he did have a job as a carpenter, but didn't make very much. Later, Jesus would say this, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You see, Jesus left his real home. His real home was in heaven. And he knew what awaited him, that the world by and large would reject him. And he had no earthly home for a while. So we leave earthly homes one day to join him in his heavenly home. Let me give you two quick applications of tonight's lesson. That innkeeper passed up a golden opportunity. If he had shown hospitality and faith, I'm sure his name would have been recorded. And we would have said, what a man. But he didn't, and so not even his name is being mentioned here. But secondly, if we had been around back then, would we have done any different than that innkeeper? Probably not. Because we look at a man like that, it's a reflection of what we are in our own selfishness when we want to keep Christ out. If we had been there, we would have done the same thing. The question is, do we now allow Jesus into our heart and receive him with hospitality and faith and love? and in all areas of our hearts, not just on the peripheral, but in the deepest part. There is a hymn, maybe Shirley could remember it for me sometime, which says, "Is there room in your heart for Jesus?" And he says, "Yes, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for Thee." May the Lord bless these few words tonight to our hearts, so that we might receive Jesus deeply in to the ends of our hearts. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, most of the world rejected You. The innkeeper rejected You. But the animals accepted You. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts. We will accept You. We will believe in You. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's close our service tonight by singing the most popular of all Christmas songs, number 147, Silent Night.